Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
In today's episode, I have Todd Breen, and he is the owner of Virtually Incredible. He's a longtime owner of a property management company for 30 plus years, and we are on location in Las Vegas at the NARPM Broker Owner Conference. And one of the things in this interview I want to point out is to listen to him talk about outsourcing and how it's going to change how people do things. And this is it's a pretty interesting point because he brings it to a perspective of having an outsourcing company, and talks directly to the property manager as a property manager. Now, Todd and I are both co-founders of the National Property Management, and our focus has been to provide products and services to other property managers. So we have an angle of helping property management companies out there, and Todd has a long history of doing it and helping other PMs be successful. So it's definitely a great episode. Have a listen. And Todd, welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me, Brad.
Great. I'm so glad to have you on. We are in location today. We're in Vegas, baby. Vegas.
I'm excited. And I'll have to just say, I'm honored to see that you're speaking tomorrow at the NARPM Broker Owner Conference. That's exciting.
Well, they had a last minute cancellation and they said, you know, let's put this clown up on stage and make him dance. So I guess it's my turn to get up there. I do have plans for throwing out some good red meat, though. Yeah. So it'll be a good speech. A lot of the folks that may be listening to this or watching this, we're going to share this on the National Property Management website. So it's going to be on there. It's going to be on YouTube. We're going to video record it and everything. It's going to be a good speech. I think that we'll put out a lot of red meat and good techniques that I've been able to pick up from other property managers and some of our fellow Australians that have given me some good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you have to share. A little plug, you know, you're always plugging your guests. Is it okay if your guest plugs you for a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
So I've had the honor of working with a whole bunch of property managers over the last going on 5-6 years. And I have yet to meet anyone that implements to the scale and as rapidly as you do. So you're like a big sponge. You go out and you collect all you can. Then you go back home and you slice it and dice it, and it's done. It's implemented at your business. It's exciting to see. So when you get up and share what you do at your business tomorrow, I know a lot of people are going to be excited to learn what you have to share.
It's driven me a lot of times is money. I mean, let's face it, the financial stuff, just getting it off your plate, getting it done. When you start breaking things down to a financial benefit of doing it this week or doing it next month, that's what will start to drive you nuts. What do you lose in a month by not doing that?
The opportunity cost.
Yeah.
My dad owned a lot of rental houses. And I remember when we were starting our property management company, he used to say, son, what's it cost us each day that house is vacant? And I had to be ready with the numbers. Oh, it's a $900 a month rent. That's $30 a day. You know. And he was like, sir, are we going to get it done today or tomorrow? And it was the same emphasis that you have on let's get it done. I really have a lot of respect for that.
Great segue. Let's talk a little bit about your history and in property management, in the industry as a whole. Take me back to how you really got started.
So my dad was a real estate broker when I was a kid growing up. So I was born in a time that I guess family businesses meant that kids worked in the family business. So I was always at the business on Saturdays making yard signs, or he would take us out to deliver the you have a new neighbor cards that he hand wrote every time he got a listing or sold a property. And so we'd run up and down the street and hand out the cards. And when I was 12, I started reconciling his escrow account. When I was old enough to drive, when I was 16, he handed me a pistol and a receipt book and said that Friday nights it was my turn to go collect rents.
Holy cow.
Before I could go out on my dates. And I did that until I was about 19 or 20. And then I bought a pickup truck and I was his handyman for his properties all through college. It was a great college job. I was able to set my own hours and I was making $15 an hour back when, you know, the average college kid was flipping burgers for $6 an hour. So I felt pretty good about that. And then I got out of college and it was 1985 and this new invention had just come out called a personal computer. And the next thing you know, Dad bought a software program called RPM, which was the first property management software program out there. And we automated his 55 single family homes that he owned. And within a year, we had 300 new units that we were managing, which was rapid growth. We had a ball doing it. And in 93, he kind of said, I'm out. And I bought the business from him. And by 94, I would have sold it back to you for a lot less than I paid for it. And I'll tell you why. All right. This was my lesson. And I hope anyone who's listening, if this can help them, he had the idea that all money was good money. And so he would manage any property, and he didn't really care about making extra fees and whatnot. He just cared about, you know, the single focus on if I manage 10 doors and I make X, then if I manage 100 doors, I make 100X. And so I used to tell him, Dad, let's not manage this this C and D rated properties, because I know how much work it is and how little money it is. And, you know, he didn't have that mentality. And so we'd end up managing them. So, you know, a year after I bought the properties, the portfolio, I said, you know what, I'm out. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. And I got rid of all my low-end stuff. And I went from 300 doors down to 140. And my income increased.
Wow. Really?
Figure that one out.
I'm trying to get my head around wrapped around that real quick. Is your income increased with your potential revenue going in half?
Yeah. So in the same year that I got rid of all of those really bad properties that were time wasters, I got busy deploying myself and my time towards higher dollar activities, and my income went up that year. So it didn't go up that month. It went up in the same calendar year. And so that was a really valuable lesson to me. And ever since then, I said, you know what, I'm going to make property management fun and profitable, or I'm not going to stay in this industry. And that was in 1994. It's 2017. I'm still profitable and having fun.
So dive into that a little bit. So that's, I would call that pruning a little bit, you know, as far as I'm trying to think of the right words and how to correlate that. But essentially, you took a portfolio of 300 and shaved it down to 140. How did some of the owners react to that? I mean, just really get into that.
So I actually wrote a little book called The Manager's Manual, which anyone can have if they want to look us up after this podcast. And in there, I wrote out 7 ways to say goodbye to your lover. You know that song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? I wrote out the 7 ways to say goodbye to an owner. And each one of them involved a kiss on the cheek goodbye. In other words, I monetized it. And so lesson number one is never get rid of an account when you can sell it to a competitor.
Okay.
Right?
Good
and
point.
I sold 45 accounts to one guy, and he gave me a ton of money for all the headaches that he could handle. Another thing is to advise the owner, hey, this is not a high income producing property. Let me get you out of it into a starker 1031 exchange where you don't have to pay your capital gains for the sale of this portfolio, and we transfer you into a new portfolio. There's sell, you know, if you're a broker, whether you can make a referral commission or a sales commission. You know, advising an owner, this is not a property you want to manage, doesn't mean you have to just give them a pink slip. It could be, let me help you get a property you should want to own.
That's a giant lesson learned for some of us. Some of us are not in growth mode. You know, my company's in super growth mode because we're trying to add more doors, et cetera. And we're trying to add doors at the top of the market. But some companies have been at X homes for a long time. And sometimes they go even through the pruning process of getting rid of those C-class landlords. And you just reminded me to remind our audience that they need to not necessarily get rid of them, but farm them out. They could refer them for a sale. They could package them and sell them to a competitor. There's all kinds of ways to make money at the end state of that versus just sending them the F you, go away, I'm done with you. You know, because when we've had to do that, it's always been we're not a right fit, and they tend to go away. But that's in batches. That's ones or two, you know, let's say. But for the big ones, if you're pruning 30, 40, 50 at a time.
Well, even with the one-offs, there's in that list of 7 ways, I encourage you guys to get that list, read it, and train your staff that, you know, like people are talking about what's a door worth in our inventory, right? And whether you think that's worth $1,000 or $5,000, it doesn't matter. There's a 4-digit number that a door is worth. And when you pink slip an owner, you're just taking $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 and tearing it up in front of your eyes. And why would you do that when there's these seven exciting ways to transition out of a property? And so I did that. And so when I tell you, in the same year that I went from 300 down to 140, I made more money. It's because I can honestly tell you, not one of those properties went away without a kiss on the cheek goodbye. And that's the exciting way to improve your portfolio. So I always say that the problems that we face as property managers aren't the issue. It's the meaning we associate with those problems and the dollar value we associate to the resolution of those problems. And so I always look to associate a high dollar resolution to every problem I encounter. And that mentality will make you a lot of money in life.
Excellent. I really do appreciate that. Let's talk further into, you know, what you've done in the management company. You built that back up to X number of doors and it pretty much kind of runs itself. And you've transitioned into working as the founder of Virtually Incredible.
Yeah.
I really want you to dive into that and talk to us some more about that, how you saw the need and how you filled the need.
So at my management company, there were some tasks that I wanted to do. And at Virtually Incredible, we do three tasks for our company first and for other managers who want to take advantage of outsourcing some of their business processes. And of course, you and I met each other through the first task that we did, which is video tour editing and optimization and SEO, which stands for search engine optimization. Remember that?
Totally. We owe a lot of our business to what I learned from you because we started doing everything on video. I mean, everything from market trends to speeches to, you know, just walkthroughs from marketing videos. I mean, just everything we could, blogs we put on the video, tie that into YouTube. And that's how we gained our SEO strength in the marketplace.
So it's interesting, you know, in 2001, I decided I wasn't going to work at my management company full time anymore. And I went to a 4-hour work week. And I said, I'm going to work on my business, not in it. And the first thing I wanted to do was work on my marketing. And so I had a brand new website. And you remember the movie, If You Build It, They Will Come?
Of course.
All right. Well, I built a brand new website and nobody came to it. And so I said, oh, I guess I need to understand what search engine optimization is so that I get found in Google. So I tried to hire three SEO companies that year, and all three of them, I think they all went to the same school. They all said, it's $10,000 and here's my contract, no guarantees, and sign here, press hard, bottom copy is yours. And I said, wow, for 10 grand, I'll read a book or two. So I went and read a couple books on SEO and I got my company ranked first for 70 keywords within like less than a year. And our phone was ringing, we grew, it was great. And so I was really hooked on the work on your business, stop working in your business from that little lesson. That was so valuable to me. And so in the process of learning what SEO was, when I started doing my own video walkthrough tours, I said, well, let me SEO those because Google paid billions of dollars for YouTube and they want good video content. And so I was trying to get my staff to SEO optimize the videos as they uploaded them. And they're like, yeah, Todd, that's not going to happen. It's bad enough you make us shoot video walkthrough tours. We're not going to spend an hour putting them through a template the way that you want in order to get SEO value. And so I said, okay, I can outsource that. And I hired a company in the Philippines that I found online. And they were a BPO, business process outsourcing. And they said, we can do your admin tasks. And I got news for you, Brad. They sucked royally. Am I allowed to say that in a podcast?
Sure.
They sucked royally. They were horrible. They said yes to everything and delivered 50%. And it was not very good quality. So I canned them and I found another one online. And I went through the same process. And so I was sitting there saying, okay, I can't do this. I can't outsource. I want to. I guess I got to pay U.S. labor to do this. I got to pay high labor rates in order to get this tedious, meticulous work done, right? And so I said, well, let me give it one more shot. And I was in Australia on a 28-day speaking and training tour going around the country. And I had a few days off, so I popped up to Manila and I walked into a university and I said, let me talk to a professor here. I got to talk to some smart people in the Philippines, right? And they sent me a professor and I said, can you help me hire some smart people? She said, sure. And I said, do you want to go to dinner? And she said, yes. And now, of course, I'm married to Lucy. Right? How cool is that?
That's, you know, it was meant to be.
You know, sometimes the worst monkey does get the best banana, and I'm proof of that fact. And so now, you know, Lucy's helped us to hire, and we have over 100 staff in the Philippines now that do the SEO for companies like you. And I remember when we met, you had been shooting video tours because intuitively you wanted to shoot them.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah. When YouTube came out in 06, I started doing a replacement for the virtual tours. Remember the virtual tours with the still shots where they'd animate the still shots and play this horrible music in the background? That's what all real estate agents were doing. But I was hot and heavy into sales at that point, so I thought that was the way. But I discovered YouTube. I'm like, you know, heck with this. I can take a video camera, walk through the home, and call that my marketing tour just by the audio you get, the video you get. And I encourage people to go there. And I started to realize all the benefits from it. You reduce the showings. You get the people that are just tire kickers. They don't go look at that home. Just all kinds of benefits. And then, whoa, what happened is it started to build your SEO just by sheer chance. Then guess who bought out YouTube?
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah.
Google bought them out. So now it's just like they're married and it works and it goes well. And so the video mastery stuff that you do, I still use today, of course, as you know, would not replace it. I think it's genius what we're doing there. And I've been very happy with the results. So one of the things I wanted to segue in now is tell me a little bit more about what VI does and then what you expect VI to be doing in the future.
So there's a lot of outsourcing companies out there that will do anything you ask them to do. And we're not that company. What we do is I take work that I know I need to get done properly at my company and I scale it for other companies. So the first thing we did was a video. The second thing we did was tenant screening because I was so concerned. I have four very, very skilled and highly trained property managers that were struggling to do consistent compliance with all federal laws in every application they screened. And every time I talk to a broker or owner, I'm like, are you sure that your team does everything that they're supposed to do every time? Because the one time you get a complaint or a random audit and you didn't follow all of the right steps, that's the time that it could put an arrow in your heart. And you're like, wow, I thought we were doing better than that. And so, you know, as an absentee broker owner, I was always keen to look at how can I minimize the downside risk? And the one thing I couldn't control was audits. So I said, well, I've got to be fully compliant at all times. And if I outsource it, they go through a routine checklist each time. I just had a better sense of, you know, calm that I could be away from my business and know that that was being done right.
As a user for that checklist, I've been very impressed. I mean, that Excel spreadsheet is down to the minimum. Even the genius stuff like social media.
Yeah.
You know, you'll pick up, you know, you told me this, you pick up a third of omissions. And what was the other term?
Yeah. So 41% of the applicants that we get, we catch them in errors of omission or commission.
Omission and commission. Right? That's right.
So they're either leaving off landlord references or they're making up ones so that you don't really get the real picture. And it requires, we spend an hour and a half on average processing every application. It requires a lot of due diligence to use all of the resources online to research who the real owners are and et cetera. And again, are we doing that consistently? We weren't. And so that's when we decided to outsource it. And of course, now we're doing that for hundreds of management companies. And then the next service that I wanted to
I got to interrupt you there. The coolest thing in that, I thought, was they checked the name of the past landlord and reference it to the tax records.
Yeah.
That is genius. They just go online, is Billy Bob the true owner
right.
of the home that they said that they lived in last? And they verify with the tax record. It's just like one more extra step that internal staff may or may not do.
Right. Yeah.
And I love it.
Most people aren't going to that level. And that's how we get 4 out of 10 people caught in these errors of omission and commission. And so it ends up really cool. Plus, you know, my outsource staff would routinely, when they're talking to a landlord, they'll end the conversation with, would you like more information about how we can help you lease and manage your home? And it turns up new management listings for us every month.
Genius. Right?
Yeah.
Genius.
And so, you know, that was cool. Then, you know, the whole busy part of property management, so far we've been talking about, okay, video walkthrough tours, cut down the number of showings, tenant screening, man, when applications are flying at 100 miles an hour, it's so busy leasing properties. Leasing properties is the busiest work of property management. And it's something that property managers don't always do a consistently good job at. And that's where this next service came up. It's answering the leasing calls and answering the leasing emails.
Yeah, both of those tie in well because, so in my market in Texas, the leasing is fairly steady. I mean, we can lease the same number of homes in February as you would in September, right? So there's a little bit of spike in the summer, but let's say a market like Michigan, where it's from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and that's it. And it's a compressed bell curve where they have a super spike in activity. That's where your services really come in.
Yeah, and you know, what ends up happening, we will do a secret shopping campaign where our staff will call every management company in a certain geographic area, and we'll pose as a tenant, and we'll say, you know, hey, what sort of service do we get? Do we get voicemail? That's not very good customer service, right?
Right?
When the published number goes straight to voicemail, you're not renting that house as well as you could. Or do you get somebody at the front desk that's slamming you on hold and busy? Or do you get somebody who's polite, professional, and the reason they took that call was to pay attention to you and answer your questions, screen you, and if you're a qualified person, set an appointment. And, you know, that's simple sales 101, and so many management companies, including my own, were getting a bad grade at that. In fact, my grade was probably in the 2 to 2.5 stars out of 5.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I can do better than this. So I hired, you know, the right people to answer the calls, and I paid them to answer calls all day, Monday through Friday, then in the evenings, and also on Saturday and Sunday. And by answering the calls 85 hours a week, man, my vacancy list shrunk, and my days on market shrunk. And I'm not talking minor shrink, all right? I'm talking like fell in half. And we get that sort of feedback when people use these services because the average management company has, what, 200 doors, 300 doors. They can't really rise up and staff a call center. And yet that's what the consumer is expecting right now when they call. And so many times when somebody calls a management company to rent a house, they're not renting a house.
Yeah. Let's talk about the consumers and what they want. So as we are in Vegas, we're on location. We're in a vacation rental by owner that you rented with your family here. We just shooed them out so we could do this podcast. VRBO, Airbnb, they're all doing leasing cycles where the tenants, potentially you, even though it's for a weekend, they're not having to do the tedious stuff to rent a home. We're still seeing applications that are being processed via paper. We're still seeing applications to where the only way to get an approval is to bring the hard copy or, certified funds security deposit before an approval is issued. This is not where the industry is going. The industry wants to be a lease cycle that's all online. They want wired funds. They want move-in situations to where they do not have to travel across town to pick up keys. Because when you walked into this home, you hit a code and got right in. Right. So that's where the industry is going as a whole. Your services fit right into that perfectly. Am I correct?
Yeah. And you know, the consumer experience has been largely ignored by the property management industry for too long. And it's not going to remain that case forever. Because what's happening in our industry is we're starting to see, like in 2010-11, at the bottom of the market post-boom, you know, everything was terrible back in those years, right? And Warren Buffett comes out and he sounds the trumpet horn and he says, I'd buy 200,000 houses if I could just figure out a way to manage them. And I sat up in my chair when he said that and I said, did Warren Buffett, all right, just say he would get into our industry? And of course, a year or two later, he had purchased Prudential, the nationwide chain, relabeled it Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. He bought 13 other regional chains, and he's got this national organization. He can figure out how to a way to manage properties now on a national scale. And of course, the hedge funds, Blackstone, you know, they've all figured out how to manage on a national scale. Now we've also got really big franchise pressure coming into our market, right? Mm-hmm. And that wasn't there before. And now with the franchise, we're starting to see systemization, automation, and it's really changing the consumer experience. And so some of our biggest clients at our call center are franchise companies that say, you know what, we have to offer a better customer experience. And they're really focusing on that. Meanwhile, the mom and pops, some of them are great, but the average mom and pop property manager is not doing a great job on the front end leasing cycle. So we're going to start to see automation come into place. We're going to start to see a major shift in how people rent houses.
Let's talk about that. Let's go into what your services do that could potentially help a management company owner. So for example, the leasing process itself. So if we were to draw a circle and we say leasing, and then we have application process, I mean, let's define it. So the first thing in an application process is one, they have to fill out an application online. So a lot of the softwares that we use have that capability, but this is where your services can come into play and assist with that screening process from that application that's being taken online. Am I correct?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the big softwares out there right now just will send you an email and say, hey, guess what? We're your property, we're your app folio, you have a new application. And so your staff then can say, okay, I have another application to process. Or you can outsource that labor function using your own resources. And see, that's the beauty of software as a service. Software as a service, I was so excited when I saw that, you know, these big companies were coming in and revitalizing our software. Because prior to the software as a service, the Propertyware, the AppFolio, the Property Boss, the Buildium, prior to that, it was all like local PC stuff. And if you weren't at your office, you couldn't do your work, right? And now we take for granted the fact that, oh, I can process an app from home, or I can do it while I'm having, you know, Starbucks, right? You can literally process an app.
Yeah, the application should be all online at this point. Then once the approval is done, monies can be collected online. Your service can help with that. Maybe not collect the monies, but they can send a form or give instructions via phone on how somebody can send funds to the property manager via wire, via certified funds, or personal check, depending on whatever they do. But they can walk them through that process. And so there, if they do wired funds, for example, now there's two instances where that person, that consumer, doesn't have to go anywhere. They can rent potentially at home or do most of the steps from home, from their hotel room as they move into a new market. So you have the application process done, you have the wiring money being done. Now we just tackle the move-in process.
And now you've got DocuSign, right?
Correct. The lease agreement.
So then the lease agreement used to always be a real hassle because you had to get people physically into your office or you had to fax it to them. And so now DocuSign is taking over. Most of the successful companies are having their leases signed electronically. And then once you've got a fully funded lease that's fully executed, what do? You wait for move-in date and then give them the code to the to the front door.
Yeah, this is what we're doing here. So on that lease application process, we approve the lease, we get the funds via wire, then we do the DocuSign lease agreement, just like you said. And we don't necessarily want them in the office to potentially coach them up on a lease agreement, because now you're asking me to be an attorney or asking my staff member to be an attorney. I look at it that way. Other people look at it like they want to hug their tenants and make them nice and all that good stuff. That's not what the consumers want. The generation behind us coming up, they just want to rent the place and move in. They don't want to come in and meet you face to face. They'd rather text you from the parking lot than come in and meet you face to face, right? So this process coming full circle is now they've done the application, they paid the money, they signed the lease agreement. Now you execute the lockbox move in. And that could be a number of different ways. You could monetize that. We've made it a fast pass type of situation to where we went to Disney last year and I'm standing in line and my wife bought all the tickets to go to the fast pass. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so glad she bought the fast pass. It's worth it. And then what were they, $20 a ticket or whatever? That's the concept we put on the lockbox move in. So consumers, tenants coming in can pay as a convenience to go straight to the door, to get a lockbox code, to move straight into the home. If they want to come to the office and pick up keys, go ahead.
And that's awesome. What percentage of your
three quarter are doing that?
Are paying you for the privilege of not coming to meet you and talk with you?
Yeah,
to
get come
the keys.
Meet me in my office Friday afternoon.
Come
in
interrupt
San Antonio.
Me. Come interrupt me. Come require me to have more staff locally.
So enjoy that traffic.
Yeah, this is
San
brilliant.
Antonio.
You know, there's so many moving parts to the leasing cycle. At our company, we have a checklist that's 72 steps from the time a tenant gives notice to vacate Or they come up for renewal, rather, to the time the new tenant moves in or the release renewal is done. It's 72 steps. And the more we can automate those steps or eliminate them or outsource them, then this comes to the real future of property management. All right. Traditional model is one property manager can manage 100 doors. Mm-hmm. Now, any of you who are saying, well, come on, Todd, that's not the case now. I'm talking about since 1985 when I started.
We should really go into that a little bit further because, a very good lady, a very smart lady, Deb Newell, reminded me of this. She said, portfolio management in its truest definition is meaning one person does everything from start to finish, everything. That's the truest definition of that. And obviously we're not doing that. Because you don't run that way. We don't run that way. We want to specialize the things that are done over and over. And that's part of what your crew does at VI.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you can take away certain tasks, it's a hybrid departmental model, but it's still portfolio based.
Right.
Because to me, the real touch point that matters is a single point of contact for a property owner and for a tenant to talk to the same property manager. When that happens, you have the perception of portfolio management to the consumer, which is the owner and the tenant.
Correct.
With the least amount of potential for the runaround or confusion or, you know, hang on, someone else has to get back to you on that, right? So if you've got that single point of contact, that's great, but that doesn't mean that property manager has to do all the moving parts. They can outsource some of those 72 steps. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, here's the pot of gold under the rainbow, is excess capacity gets eliminated. So what does that mean? It means that now you can get a property manager to manage 200, 250, some are even doing 300, because they know that their maintenance is all being done by either in-house maintenance department or an outsourced maintenance department. They know their leasing, their tenant screening. They know a lot of their admin tasks are being done by some of the companies that routinely will outsource admin tasks. And when that happens, the property manager can manage 300 owners and 300 tenants. What does that do to your bottom line when you can pay? Now, what do you pay for all these other outsourced work? You pay by the job, by the piece, or by the door, meaning that you don't have to hire people for, okay, I'm at 101 doors now, so I need another full-time staff member to grow into 200 doors. That traditional growth model has been crippling, and it's why so many property management companies grow to 100, 150, 200, and they tend to stagnate is because a lot of property management company owners have difficulty with the concept of scaling a business. And it's like they have to know and touch and feel everything. And when they learn to let go and outsource to competent professionals, they can actually start to grow with fewer staff and get more doors with fewer staff. And I know you're doing a pretty good job of that.
Sure. We do our best. And with your help, of course. Where do you envision Virtually Incredible going in the future? And how does that tie into some of the things we're going to talk about with industry trends? Let's touch on that for a little bit.
So there are other companies out there that do a great job on admin outsourcing. And people ask us to do it, and I refer them to these other companies because we're really a customer service for the front end of the leasing cycle. So whether it's video, then which makes the phone ring, and then we answer the calls, which makes applications get generated, that's where we're done. And I really don't see us expanding beyond that much more into the future, because if you're sitting, like, I love this quote from Gene Bennett. Gene's a good friend of mine and the national training director at the RPM franchise. And when he uses all of our services, he says, you know, Todd, the coolest thing that ever happened to me was when the first thing that I did with a new tenant was to say, hi, you've been approved for your lease. We're going to DocuSign it to you. He said, I didn't have to do any of the work beforehand. You know, that's my first point of contact. So I see that the industry is going to move towards some of a roll up. We're seeing a lot of top down pressure. We're also seeing a lot of bottom up pressure. What do I mean by that? Sally Realtor, right? Or John Agent can go out and buy property management software. And I'm sitting across the podcast from John Real Estate Agent, Brad Real Estate. You were a real estate agent, now you're a management company.
Correct.
Right?
That's correct.
And that was how many years ago?
About 6 or 7.
6 or 7 years ago. And there's a lot of people in the San Antonio market that are now feeling the pressure because another agent is starting to absorb market share, right?
Very competitive for a sales market there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that, you know, we've got top-down pressure, but we got all these agents, because how easy is it to enter property management now?
Very easy. And let's talk about the top-down pressure, because I want to elaborate on that, because the thing that I'm seeing top-down to define that means that the management fees are essentially capping out. There's only going to be so much that
they're falling.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I don't want to say falling to discourage anybody, but you have smaller players coming in, you have franchises that are coming in. Yeah. They're driving down the cost of
Happening. So you've got the larger companies that have figured out how to scale that can afford to reduce their prices.
Correct.
And then you've got these little startups that are working from home, they don't have any overhead, and they can offer a lower price. And then you've got the traditional mom and pop feeling the squeeze.
Yeah, two little secrets there we're seeing. One of the secrets is those franchises, in my opinion, they are getting that from somewhere else.
What they're doing is they're figuring out how to monetize other parts of the transaction so that the management fee is not necessarily their main bread and butter.
Correct.
Right. And that's the real important challenge for all of us to do, is to maximize our revenues through not necessarily the property owner. So there, you got tenants and you got vendors and you got relationships with both that you can monetize. I mean, your example of charging a few bucks to let a tenant check themselves in. You know, you got that from the tenant, not from the owner.
Yeah, anytime there's a value, I think that can be monetized. Yeah. I think the fees, the revenue is going to be a little bit stagnant in the years to come. So that leads into people gotta figure out ways to reduce overhead, such as outsourcing. Otherwise, their profit margin is going to shrink so badly, it's going to be a tough row.
And I've used this example a few times, and forgive this story, but it haunts me. All right. My granddad was a pharmacist. All right. And I remember back in the 70s, I was a kid and he had his little pharmacy in the front of the house and he lived in the back in a small town. And we lived in a bigger city. And when we would go and visit him, I'd say, "Hey, Grandpa, you know, we've got these new chain store pharmacies coming up around. Are you concerned about those?" And he said, "No, people don't want to buy their pharmaceuticals from the discount people. They want to talk to their pharmacist and have really good customer service." And I was like, "Oh." And inside, I was thinking, "Well, Grandpa, your store is pretty quiet and these discount places are booming, man. They're always busy." Now, when's the last time, Brad, you went to a local neighborhood pharmacist to get your drugs?
I don't even know if there are any.
They're gone.
They're gone.
Where did they go?
The way of the dodo bird.
Right? Now, Grandpa had that idea that he was irreplaceable because of his local knowledge and whatnot. And the truth is, the consumer went for the better value and the more convenience, because Grandpa was open during certain hours. And there, of course, you know, there's 24-hour drugstores now, right? So what do I see happening in our industry is I start to see the top-down pressure is going to change the standards of customer service. Mm-hmm. We're going to start to see 24-hour property management companies.
Yeah.
All right. And does that give you an edge when you can take an owner, tenant, or vendor call 24/7?
Sure would.
Right?
Just got to figure out how to do it.
Well, and it's already, you know, very much in the process of being done. So I see that coming, if not 24, how about 18 hours, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, we're going to start to see a new level of customer service from the top-down pressure. And from the bottom up, we're going to continue to see startups that are willing to just really, really drop the costs. And so that leaves a property management company like yours and mine that's kind of established and in the middle with the challenge to either differentiate us as being worth more, which is a, you know, it's an uphill push sometimes, versus also coming up with discount solutions. And I love the fact that at your company, you have the three levels of service. So
you
can attract a discount person. You can also get a high-end person that wants to buy a Mercedes from you and pay the price.
I could do a whole episode talking about how that works and the benefits of it and how it's worked for us. But let's go into our venture together.
Okay.
We partnered up and founded an organization called National Property Management. And really, I give you a lot of the credit for this, because you started this conversation with me and I jumped in, and you know how I grab something and I won't let go.
Yeah.
And we have other ways to say that, but let's just leave it clean for now.
Yeah.
Because I knew that concept was going to go somewhere. the concept of property managers helping other property managers. So let's talk about that some.
Well, and so one of the things that I'm starting to see out there right now is I've had the benefit of traveling globally and consulting and speaking in other countries about property management. And I've learned a lot from other countries. And I've realized that the ancillary industries surrounding property management are really ripe for roll-ups into our industry. So, for instance, maintenance companies, anything we can do, like the franchises, they leverage a discount for owners and tenants at Home Depot or Lowe's, right? And that's because they have the scale to go into a national hardware store chain and say, hey, what'll you do for my tens of thousands of customers? And then they'll get that. So national property management is designed to see what we can do to actually start to create a bunch of moms and pops holding hands and singing kumbaya and saying, hey, we represent a market share here, right? And so whatever we can do to not only negotiate discounts, but actually start to incorporate new business models that come into the property management. I'm not going to go into that at length, but it's some exciting things that we're working on.
I agree. So yeah. I would just say to everybody out there, keep an eye on that. Check out our website, see what we have to offer. So this has been a great interview. We're hitting right about 40 minutes. So Todd, do you have any last comments you want to make?
Well, I'm inspired by, I'm in my 50s and you're a decade younger than me. I'm inspired by the energy of the people that are coming up in our industry. And it's exciting to see what's going to happen in the coming years.
How do people find you? Let's give me a spiel there.
So, Todd, T-O-D-D, at virtuallyincredible.com is my email address. If you'd like a copy of the 7 ways to say goodbye to an owner, I can make sure I get you a copy of that. And I'd be happy to share or kick the ball around with anyone who wants to talk about ways to make more or spend less in property management.
Great. Todd, been awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
All right, take care. Today's show is sponsored by the National Property Management Network, providing insurance products and services to property managers such as tenant liability insurance. Visit them at nationalpropertymanagement.com.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.